Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we will read verses 8 through 14. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Let's pray. Our Father, as we turn to your word, we come needy and we come asking, Lord, that your light would shine upon us now, that you would meet us in your word, that we would be changed by it, that we would revel in it, that we would glory in it, that we would be refreshed by the waters of your word. Lord, would you draw near to us now in Jesus' name? Amen. There in that manger, 2,000 years ago, lay the hope of the world. That tiny baby, that little one, born of a woman, was the long-awaited Messiah come at last to give hope to the world, to bring peace on earth, to undo the curse which had lain upon us since we fell in the garden. This one had come to do battle against our enemies that had long enslaved us, the world, the flesh, and the devil, sin and death. There at last hope had come. And at Christmas we remember that moment when our Savior was born and this good news was proclaimed for the first time. Born unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. What a moment that was. What a promise. A promise fulfilled in that he had at last come. And a promise given in the work that he had come to do. Christ is the hinge of history, of all of it. He's the reason for all of it. That little baby, the glory of God as revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ, there in that manger lay the hope and the promise of the world. That is worth remembering. That is worth celebrating. Because just look at the world to which he came. We live in a world full of sickness and death, and we all know what that means. We all have loved ones who have died. Generations long lost, parents, grandparents, children too. We are surrounded with the reality of death. We get old, we get sick, we struggle, we suffer, we die. We are weak, weary, and heavy laden. And though we love one another deeply, that love only produces a great pain when death comes creeping, doesn't it? And the depths of love in our heart are matched by the depth of our tears that we cry. What an agony to love and then to lose the loved one. The world that Jesus came to is a world filled with graves. We live in a world of evil, of devils and principalities and powers and evil men who hate the living God and hate those who love the living God. We live in a world filled with rebellion and animosity, hatred toward all that is good. Christians suffer persecution all over the world. Babies are murdered, debauchery and perversion celebrated and enshrined in the laws, in the political halls, in the public square, and in the public schools. The world that Jesus came to is a world filled with a malicious and malignant evil that would destroy everything good and right. This is the world that Jesus came to. We live in a world of sin in our own hearts. We are conceived and born in sin. Born into Adam, we all are, from the least to the greatest, born to die. The grave awaits us all. All have fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one who does what is right. Each one in this room, born a rebel and an enemy of God. Each one a slave to sin and under the wrath of the one true holy God. The world that Jesus came to is a world in which he was an enemy. And we were that enemy. So yes, this world is a fallen world and in desperate need. And we see today the results of the fall all around us, and creation groans under the weight of it. The world is dying. And then in the middle of it all comes this baby lying in a manger, and with him at last comes hope. And he will live a perfect life. He will fulfill all the requirements of God. He will be perfect in our place. For us who are so lost, his very enemies, he does it for us in our place. And he will do what we never could. And he will take upon himself our own failure, our sin, the judgment. He will suffer the pain that is rightfully ours. He will be our Savior. And then he will rise from the dead, having suffered once for all for sin. And even now he has taken his seat at the right hand of the Almighty God, and he rules right now, having all authority in heaven and on earth, and he is our King, and through him we receive forgiveness of sins, peace with God, escape from this world, the flesh and the devil. And none of it can rule over us again. Through him, death has lost its sting, and we have been given new hearts, the indwelling of the Spirit, as a guarantee of eternal life and power to walk in faithfulness before him, being sanctified and bringing glory to the one who saved us. That baby in the manger, Jesus Christ, sits now on the throne. He is worthy to receive praise and honor, glory and thanks throughout all generations. And how do we give it to him? What is his due from us, his people? How do we respond to this great salvation? Well, let us look a little closer at the world at which he came to save. But let us look at it through the eyes of Christmas and the cross. Through the lens of the baby in the manger, our Savior who is hope incarnate, and let us look through the lens of the good news that we have received in the gospel. I said a minute ago that this is a world of sickness and death. That's true. But now hope has come. In Christ, death is not the end. Not even close. In Christ, death has lost its sting, and it can no longer hold you captive. The grave has lost its grip on its occupant. In Christ, we have confidence that not a hair of our head will be lost. We will be raised from the dead, just as he was. And we will be brought into eternal life with him. Instead of a dead end, death is now a tuxedo-clad usher to bring you into the presence of God. Death is the end, but only the end of your problems. So yes, death is painful. It is hard when loved ones die. Who hasn't felt the pain of that loss? It's real and it is deep. And we mourn with great sadness the death of those we care about. But we do not mourn as those who have no hope. Our mourning does not overwhelm us to despair. Joy comes in the morning. We are reminded that the death of the saints is precious in the sight of God. In Jesus, death takes on a different shade of sadness, one that does not last. It is dark just before the dawn, the very darkest, but then a moment later, the first faint streaks of light are seen in the eastern sky as we remember the promise, the Savior has come. And he will save his people from their sins, and death will not overcome them. And while we live in this world, yes, we face sickness in our bodies, pain, a great challenge for us. But what is the promise of Christmas, the promise of the Messiah? What does it say? That he will bear all our sicknesses and diseases. We will overcome through him. And he will lead his sheep through that valley and out through the other side. The promise is that there is no pain so great that his grace is not greater still. In Christ, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within. We can truly count our sufferings as joy, exulting in our weakness, for the love of God is stronger. It lasts longer. It goes deeper. It is more powerful than anything you might experience in your days here on earth. God is now our Father, the one who gives good gifts to his children. He has proven his love beyond a shadow of a doubt in the Messiah and his cross. And now, no matter what we face, we go to that cross and we are assured of his love. We visit the empty grave and we are assured of his power. And today, as we sit down by the manger, we are comforted by his promise that he is with us. This is a difficult life, you know that. But the promise of God holds through all of our sickness and our death. So yes, we weep, we suffer, we struggle, of course we do. But through it all, the light shines. Oh yes, the light shines and the darkness cannot overcome it. Hope remains, always. And it is a relentless hope. No darkness can extinguish it. The Messiah has come, and right now he reigns over everything. Hear the word, Jesus is Lord. That is his due. And we owe him. We owe him our relentless hope and our defiant joy in the face of evil. I said that this is a world filled with devils and evil men. This is true. But now hope has come. We battle principalities and powers, cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The devil is real. And he prowls about looking for your soul to devour you. Your name is on his mind. You are haunted and hunted by this great evil. But now in Christ, what do you find? What do you find? Suddenly before you, you find a table set and an invitation from the living God to sit down and feast right in the presence of this devil, your enemy. God says, sit down, rest. And you can raise a glass and rejoice, for you know that greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. You can rest right in the middle of the battlefield. Satan is a strong man, but he is a strong man who has been bound. And Jesus is currently taking all of his stuff, of which you once were, but no longer. No longer. You do not belong to him. You belong to Christ for those who have come to him in faith. Christ is rescuing his people from the clutches of evil, and he is pulling them out of the grave, and the grave has lost its grip on its occupant. And you can only watch helplessly as you walk out of it. No, we need not fear the devil anymore. God sits enthroned on our praises, and the devil cannot stand against the saints of glory. The gates of hell cannot withstand the onslaught of the church. Christ has come, and we are not alone in our battle. Emmanuel, our King is with us. And he leads us. And the victory is his. No, the gates of hell cannot withstand the onslaught of the church. We plunder their ranks daily by the preaching of the word as the Spirit goes forth in power, giving sight to the blind and pulling people from the clutches of evil. The weapons of our warfare are not the weapons of the flesh. No, these weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. We tear down arguments and every presumption set up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So yes, the devils of this world are real. And every last one of them knows the name of Jesus. And every last one of them trembles at the sound of it. Courage. Courage. The dragon's head has been crushed. Hope has come. The new dawn is upon us, where the saints walk in freedom and in power, and the works of the devil are daily being undone. Jesus is Lord. Do you know that? What burden did you come here with today? Do you know that Jesus is Lord? Do you know it? Evil men seek to bend this world to their will, and they come to destroy all that is good. But they don't realize that the very breath they breathe is from God, that every murderous word breathed out will be judged by the wrath of God. Their every evil deed will be brought before him to whom they will have to give an account. They do not know that the fires of eternal hell await them. They think they are free and powerful, but in reality, they are weak and enslaved. And even though we may suffer under the oppression of such evil men at times, we know the truth that they will be destroyed and that we will live. We know that God is sovereign, and that none of their evil is outside of his control and his purposes. As has been said, the only thing that the devil can do now is sweat as he fashions the crowns of the saints. God takes every evil blow that is fashioned against us, and he turns it so that all those blows land only to form our crowns of glory. All that the devil and the evil men of this world will know in the end is the utter frustration of their plans, as all that they have accomplished has only brought about our victory and the further glory of God. This is true. Do you know it? Is that what you see when you look upon a world such as ours? Is there courage and a relentless hope? Yes, this is a painful world, and there is much evil in it, but hope has come, and it is a relentless hope that no darkness can extinguish. The Messiah has come, and right now he reigns over everything. Jesus is Lord. Our joy is his due. We owe him our joy. And I said that this is a world that is filled with sin. Even in our own hearts, we struggle with sin every day. This is true. But now hope has come, hope incarnate. We have one who has paid the price for our sin, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Jesus has taken the punishment and the shame and the wrath and the judgment that should be ours. Whenever we sin, we can go to him with confidence, with freedom, knowing that he will forgive us, that he is faithful and just to forgive us completely. Forgiveness is ours. Therefore, joy is ours. Comfort is ours. Though our sins be scarlet, he will wash us white as snow. Though our sins are daily upon us, even so, as far as the east is from the west, he will remove them from us. And whenever our hearts condemn us, we have one who is greater than our hearts. And he has declared us righteous, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We are free, not just from the evil out there, but from the evil in here. It cannot prevail over us, not anymore. In Christ we have overcome, and nothing can take that away. There in the manger lay the hope of the world, and that hope did not disappoint. He did what he came to do. Christ did not fail in his mission. He never has, he never will. He completes the work that he starts. And as he has started it in you, he will complete it in you. Our hope is relentless and defiant in the face of this world, the flesh, and all the devils in it. He has saved his people, and therefore we are saved. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Do you know that? Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. How often do you face a trial and you wonder, does God still love me? Has he forgotten? Am I abandoned? And you're tempted to believe those lies that he has forgotten and that his love has run dry. And the word says, that's a lie. Put it off. Get rid of it. Nothing can separate you from his love. And that means nothing. Hold on to the word and let your hope be relentless. We owe him a relentless hope and a defiant joy. Hope is real, and with it comes joy, because we do not hope as the world does. The world hopes, and by that it means maybe something good will happen. Maybe not, but I hope so. Maybe. I hope. The Christian doesn't hope like that. When the Christian says, I hope, it is a hope that is sure of the good that is to come. When we say, how long, O Lord, we say that because we know it's coming to an end. He has said so. It's not if, but when. Even in our cries of longing, how long, O Lord, how long? Even in our grief and in our pain, even then, our prayers are filled with hope as we know it all comes to an end. How long, O Lord? Not if, but when. Because God has said so. Our hope is something that we know for certain. The world despairs, we do not. Our hope is based on the promise of God, and the promise of God will never fail. The world's hope is uncertain, our hope is sure. So yes, sin is a difficult thing. We struggle, and we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And in that prayer is a hope that will not disappoint. The Messiah has come. And he has delivered us, and he will deliver us, and right now he reigns over everything. Jesus is Lord. Worship is his due. In the manger lay the hope of the world, and through him came the gospel. Through him comes forgiveness and the indwelling Spirit. He is hope, and through him comes hope. He was the hope that was promised, and he is hope incarnate. And now through him in us, we have been entrusted with that hope. He dwells in his people, and we are Christ's ambassadors to continue to bring hope to the world. We must never despair. We are to live lives of hope, to proclaim it, and to carry on no matter what darkness lies before us. Christians don't get old. We get younger. Evergreen. Our hope is relentless. The grave has lost its grip on its occupant. And hope lives, it endures, and it is sure. And we are to remind one another of these things, to help carry burdens, to sing while in prison, to see the light when it's dark, to comfort in the face of death, and to pursue joy in the midst of sadness. Hope has been entrusted to us in this dark world, and our light must never go out. Just as we tell our loved ones, "I'll leave a light on for you," so we who believe are to leave the light on for the world. Here's the way home. We proclaim this gospel, and we must never stop. Relentless in our hope. Relentless in our joy. On Christmas, it's good to pause to remember that precious day. To remember when hope was proclaimed by the angels. To remind ourselves that God keeps his promises. He has given us a Savior, and now by his Spirit we are to proclaim Christ to the world. We must not allow ourselves to be relegated to the side, or just within these walls here, just within our homes. No, we have the message that the world needs. This baby is the Messiah. Jesus is Lord, and his authority is not just in heaven. All authority is given to him in heaven and on earth. It's his. And we are not relegated to the side. Every knee will bow, either in joy or in judgment. The voice of the gospel must be proclaimed in the public square and in the schools and in the halls of government and everywhere the darkness has staked a claim. For as far as the curse is found, anywhere darkness has staked a claim, Christ makes a counterclaim of his own. This is mine. And he says, "I have authority in the darkness, and I command the light to shine even here." And so out of every nation they come, and every tribe, and every tongue. The name of Christ will be proclaimed, and his righteousness will be established here. His authority is also here. And we are to be that light in the world. Jesus said we are to be salt and light. Always light, always salt. Don't lose it. So remember at Christmas that hope has been given to mankind, that we have been entrusted with that hope. The hope of the gospel. This Christmas we remember, we proclaim, which we do until he comes again. That promise of his coming will also be fulfilled. Our hope is sure. And in the meantime, we speak the truth in love, even in the darkest valleys. We worship the living God, and we bear one another's burdens. We walk through the valleys together, and in all of it, we are mastered and we are sheltered by our relentless hope, one that does not disappoint, for Christ himself is our hope. As has so often been said, do not forget in the darkness what you saw in the light. There was a time when the light of the gospel shone on your heart and you were overjoyed. And then there was a time when the lights went out. And some trial and some burden came your way. What you saw in the light still holds. Do not forget in your darkness what you saw in the light. The hope is relentless. The joy is defiant, be it ever so dark. Jesus is on his throne, and the victory is sure. Think of the baby in the manger, that hope incarnate. And that hope has been entrusted to us to take into all the world, including your own hearts. We have a mission. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. For God said, "Let light shine out of darkness." He has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in jars of clay. to show that their surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. And so we do not lose hope. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Hope never fails. It will all be undone. God will mend all. And He reigns and He will reign. Death itself will die. Hope never fails. The question is, do you have it? It is utterly relentless in the face of the flesh, the world, and all the devils in it. Hope stands defiant at the foot of the grave and at the very gates of hell. Hope stands when all else falls. So this Christmas season, whatever your trial may be, whatever has risen up in this time to challenge you, to challenge your joy, to rob you of your love, whatever has come that seeks to knock you down to your knees, may this message of hope ring in your hearts and rekindle your faith. Jesus is Lord. And so may you kneel only before the King that was born in the manger. This Christmas, may your hope be in Him. And may that hope be joyful. May it be defiant. And may it be utterly relentless. His worship is His due. May we give it to Him all of our days. Let us pray. Our Father, You came to be with us, to win the victory that we never could, to crush the head of that dragon, that old serpent. Lord, would You rekindle in us a relentless hope, that we would know it deep in our hearts, deep in our bones, that our souls would be colored in the dye of that promise of victory, that we would be those who would hope through the tears, through whatever valleys we face, that we would yet know joy and so honor our King. May we not be found to be a people in despair, a people who feel they are crushed. Lord, may we receive Your word. May we receive Your presence and know the joy that comes out of it. That our days would be marked by the joy, by our songs and by our laughter, by raising a glass in the presence of an enemy. May we know You truly. This Christmas, as we pause by the manger, Lord, we thank You that You are with us. What a blessing to know that You are with us. And even so, we pray, come, Lord Jesus, be with us again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.